reading to you from the 6th chapter of John, and with the 26th verse. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Mullen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home. Did you know what? My wife and I, we just celebrated our 61st wedding anniversary. Can you believe that? We were married for 61 years. We've had some wonderful times. Boy, we've had some tough times. But I tell you, we both found Jesus, and that's what kept our marriage together, and then keep your marriage together. Listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, have a hot chocolate or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. Let's begin reading in the first verse. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and have set her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women, and then what do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds of accusing him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when they had persisted and asked him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and with the woman where she was in the midst. And straightened up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, this is going to be titled, "I am the light of the world." Listen, Jesus revealed himself as the eternal Son of God. The "I am" statement helped us understand him. Listen, the light of the world. For what does this "I am" statement mean? Do you understand it? How does it relate to you and me? Well, light brings a knowledge of our need. Verse 9, and when they heard it, they begin to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the midst. Well, listen to me. The woman was taken in adultery. A terrible thing to happen, but she was. And beloved, I'll tell you for sure, I believe in the bottom of my heart, those men that brought her before Jesus were the guilty ones. All eyes focused on this guilty woman. The Pharisees' attempt to catch Jesus between law and grace. Oh, that goes on all the time, doesn't it? He said he had come to fulfill the law. He was also the friend of sinners. Now, friends, listen. If you didn't believe that, you're a mess. If you don't believe that Christ is your friend, and if he's not your friend, it's because you haven't been born again. You haven't done what he said, come to him and repent of your sins. See, the law demanded death for adultery. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were going to test Jesus. Well, what was Jesus going to do? You know, I don't understand all this, friends, but Jesus stooped and wrote on the ground. Well, the law had been written in stone for Moses, but perhaps he wrote the commandments in the sand. I don't know. I really don't know. But I tell you what, friend, the law makes us face our sins. Well, listen, there's one thing you want to know right now. The law cannot save. No, sir, there's a difference between law and grace. Now, the Pharisees were made aware of their sins. And here's what Jesus said. He put the monkey on their back when he said, "Let him who was without sin do what? Cast the first stone." Well, he exposed to the light. They all departed. See, light brings to the hopeless in verse 10. And standing and straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn thee?" Well, of course they didn't. They couldn't, because they were not without sin. Absolutely were not without sin. So light brings hope to the hopeless. Aren't you so glad? The woman was guilty without hope. Now she would have hope or forgiveness. Friends, I want to tell you a true story that'll go along with this. When I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, back in the late 60s, we had had our preaching service on a Saturday night, and I also made my broadcast when I was doing preaching in the chapel. And then we would go into the great big dining hall, and the people from all parts of the town, from different churches, would come to the service, and then they would come and they'd witness to the men. Well, with the men and women that were in the mission, well, we'd have cake and cookies or sandwiches, you know, and coffee and stuff. Well, when my wife and I was in there with all of them, all of a sudden, there was a little old lady. She worked around the mission, and she come and she whispered. She said, "Reverend," she said, "there's a lady in your office, and she's crying. Would you come in there?" And I said, "Well, sure." So I nodded for my wife, and we went into this office and closed the door. And sure enough, this woman was sobbing her heart out. And so she said, and while she was sobbing her heart out, I turned in the Bible about the lady that was at the well. She was a bad lady. And I said, she said, "How did you know?" Well, I said, "I'll tell you one thing for sure. I know that women don't cry that way unless they've been guilty of something that serious." She said, "Let me tell you what happened to me." She said, "My husband and I had saved our money, and we were going to get our money back from the IRS, and we were going to remodel our little house. We don't have a very big house, but it's kind of run down. We were going to remodel it. And I came home one night, and my husband was gone, and I saw the envelope where we'd received our IRS paycheck back. And he'd went out, and he spent all of that money. And so," she said, "the next day, I was so furious. Next evening, I went to a bar." She said, "I've never drank in my life. And I went to this bar, and I started proceeding to get drunk. And a man walked up and sat down beside her, and, you know, the rest. The next thing you know, they're in a hotel room." She said, "I'd never done anything like that in my whole life." She said, "I feel so dirty. I feel so filthy. I cannot even pick up my little baby." And I said, "Ma'am, what you did was wrong. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said." And I read this story to her about the woman who'd taken an adultery. And I told her how that Christ came in the world to die for her, and that if she'd repent of her sins and ask God to forgive her, that he would forgive her and give her eternal life. And that night, my wife, that young lady, and myself, we knelt there. I led her in a sinner's prayer. And dear friends, when she walked out of my office, there was a song in her heart and a smile on her face. Why? Because she was no longer condemned. Jesus had forgiven her. Listen, this woman was the same way. She was guilty without hope. Now she would have hope, forgiveness. Where are thine accusers? I said, I don't know. He said, well, I don't condemn you either. Light for all in the dark. It says, the day spring from on high, Luke 1:78, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us. The light for the Gentiles, found in Luke 2:20-32, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. Well, listen to me. Our Lord's passion for lost souls. Read in John 4-6. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. Did you know, friends, that's what you and I are today? We are witnesses for the Lord. There are a lot of people who are not witnessing. They don't care. Someone dies, tough. But I'll tell you right now, a Christian has a different heart than the lost. Did you know that the word world appears 77 times in John's Gospel, and it's capitalized in John 3:16. For God so loves you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, the adulteress deserved death, but what she received? She received life. She deserved to be condemned, but received pardon. That might be where you're standing right now tonight. You might be in that person's position. Maybe you have been unfaithful to your wife. Maybe you have been unfaithful to your husband. And you feel so dirty you don't know what to do. Well, you do just like this lady did. She took Jesus by his word, and he said that go sin no more. I remember reading in the gospel, when I was the little gospels, when I was a young Christian, says that the Christians do not sin, and I almost died. What? Christians do not practice sin. Christians do sin, but they don't practice sin. It bothers me, dear friends. I got a phone call from a lady the other day who used to listen to my radio broadcast, and she moved. And she said, I've kept your phone number all these years. And she said, my daughter's an alcoholic, and she lives in Tacoma, Washington. And I would like to send her your movie, Against All Hope, and your books. And I said, I'll even go one step further than that. I would be glad to talk to her. She said, you mean you would talk to her on the phone? Well, of course I would. Did you know, friends, I was preaching over here in my quartet, and I was in a big church one time. And after the service, this lady walked up to me, and she said, oh, Cecil, I wished my brother could have heard this, your testimony tonight. He's in a hospital, alcoholic hospital, and they've got his legs strapped, and they got his arms strapped. And I said, well, I tell you what, you give me his phone number. I said, I'd go see him, but I can't go to Kansas City right now. She said, you mean you would talk to him on the phone? Well, I said, of course I'd talk to him on the phone. Just give me his phone number. She gave me his phone number, and they put him on the phone, and I shared for a half an hour the gospel, shared my testimony. And I said to him, I said, sir, would you, right now, you're in bondage, you're in fetters, would you like to tell Jesus you were sorry and invite him into your heart? And he started to cry, and he said, oh, I sure do it, I sure will. So I led him in a sinner's prayer. I said, I'll have someone follow up on that. So I called the rescue mission in Kansas City, because I used to be a mission director, and I explained to them. And they went over, they took a Bible to him, and they went over there and they ministered to him. See, friends, that's why I'm so glad that God put me in rescue missions. I've got a name and address of almost every rescue mission in the world. We have rescue missions in London, Australia, Japan. And so when people call me about their loved ones, I tell them, I call them, I talk to them, and then I get a hold of the rescue mission and have them come follow up on it. It's a wonderful ministry that I have, and I'm so thankful for it. See, light brings direction to those who are delivered. And I read in verse 11 and 12, and she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more. And so that's, and verse 12, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go and sin no more, my stars in the morning. Listen, you shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My wife and I one time went fishing with my boss and his wife over near Longview, Washington. We also went out and dug some razor clams. Oh my, I shouldn't even mention razor clams. I love those things. But anyway, we went fishing in the afternoon, late in the afternoon. Well, we walked between these two big rocks and walked out on this, and the tide came in on us. Well, there we were. Boy, howdy, we couldn't get back that way, so we had to come up over this heavily infested, tree-infested, bush-infested hill, and there was a sheer cliff about 150 feet down to the water. So there my wife and I were. We were going in darkness trying to get to the trail so we could get back to our car. Well, it was so heavy, we was actually walking on top of brush. And I had a cigarette lighter. That's the only time I was good. I had a cigarette lighter. And I flipped that thing on, and I caught an eye of the trail. And my wife and I, we slid down that side of that mountain. I took the seat out of my pants. Boy, oh boy, but it is terrible to walk in darkness. And that's what you don't have to do when you know Jesus. These are directions for those who have been forgiven. See, salvation is only the beginning, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't you like that? It is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You don't deserve it. It is for by grace, his unmerited love. For we don't deserve that love, but he gave it to us. He sure enough did. And then, we're not to walk in darkness anymore, but we're to walk in the newness of life. You see, when we baptize people, we baptize them and they come up to walk in the newness of life. Well, now, some of you tonight are out there in darkness, and you're just in bad shape. I'm trying to get my Bible open here. And I want to turn to Romans 6:4, and it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that as Christ has raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. That's what I said. Walk in the newness of life. Oh, friends, you know something? We always forget in Romans 2:8-9, we always forget this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not only are we saved, but we're saved to serve. And we're his workmanship. We're the best that he's ever made. This world was nothing. He just spoke and bingo, bingo, and all this and that. But we are his workmanship. You know, he wanted Moses. He wanted Adam and Eve to meet with him in the cool of the evening that he might fellowship. That's why he created us in the first place, for fellowship. But because of sin, you know what happened. Man just messed up, and that's what happened to us. Well, listen, the sinless Savior brings light and life to us sinners. Come out of darkness to the light of the world, and he will enable you to walk in his light. Let me ask you, friend, are you prepared to do that tonight? Are you prepared? You say, well, Cecil, I'm a Christian. Well, bless your heart, I'm proud of you. But let me tell you what, are you witnessing? Are you sharing Christ? Are you one of those silent disciples, which is not in the Bible? It's not made for man to be silent. It is to be a witness. Preach the gospel. Go into all the world. I go on and on. But he has a job for you to do tonight. He has a job for me. Are you ready to do it? Okay. Well, listen, let me tell you what. If you are a Christian and you're not living for the Lord and you're not witnessing, I want to pray for you right now, Father. Oh, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray for this brother or this sister who's been slow in witnessing, that they would come out into the light of the world and tell men what Jesus did for them. And I pray that they won't be happy until they surrender in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, Cecil, I'm not even a Christian. I'm not born again. Well, if you want to be and you feel a great old tugging at your heart, here's what you need to do. And don't you dare pray this sinner's prayer unless you mean it. Here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my mixed up life and the trouble I've caused. I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Savior tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You get on the phone and you call 303-471-8534 if you prayed that prayer. Listen, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I've been doing this for years, begging and pleading with people to trust Jesus. The reason is because I too was lost and doomed and damned on the road to hell. And I found Jesus, and I found a preacher who knew Jesus, and my life has never been the same. Well, if you feel I can help you spiritually, call 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll take the charge. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife and our quartet as we go to prisons and rescue missions and wherever God leads us. Pray for my health. I do have a little health problem, but God can solve them. That he can do. He's a healer of broken hearts, too. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He's coming real soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.